The most challenging things in this world in which we live, there are some demands for righteousness and morality that is man-made. So all of us, you and I, we know that outside there, people would have certain expectation on how we should live or what and what to believe, and so they judge us as good people based on what they say or what they think. You see, so righteousness of this world, people, they just will respect you only if you are ticking their boxes, and they will have they will not really respect you or value you if you don't fit in their categories. And this is really a serious things that we are facing in today. And unfortunately, even in the church today, so the people will just leave, put down what Jesus says as the true righteousness, and would want to run with the righteousness that others are just trying presenting to us. But today is a great reminder to us that we as Christians, those who have come to receive the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we should not believe anything other than this. And in this today, we see it clearly in the calling of Matthew. And the other name for Matthew is Levi. You see Matthew. Who is Matthew in chapter 9? This Matthew, as Jesus was passing, he was still in the region of Galilee. And so he just finished healing the paralyzed man and then delivering the demon possessed, demonstrating to us the fact that he came into this world to save sinners and to deliver them from the bondages of their sins. And even today, if also you sit under anything or anything sitting over you, Jesus can deliver you, can set you free. That is what he wants to do. He wants to perfect his own people. He filled them with the Holy Spirit, filled them with love, with confidence and rest in him and in what he provides rather than other things that other people are providing. Because we have Pharisees here and we have Jesus and Matthew, these dynamics. So let us see. Jesus is going to tell us truly that he came really into this world to save and also to present to us the true righteousness and not the righteousness of the Pharisees. So this man Matthew, he was a sinner. He was a tax collector. He was a Jew, Levi. That's obviously the word Levi. He come from the tribe of Levi, because the Levites, they tend to call their children, you see, certain names, Levi, Kohen. You see, we have them even in Melbourne today. If you come across the name Levi, you know he's coming from the priestly tribe, Levi. So this man, he was from Israel, and yet he was a tax collector. He was working with the authorities, taking taxes, you see, for the Roman empires. And for a person who belongs to Jews to work in that capacity, he is really a betrayal of his own people. He was taking money, and obviously they were taking more than they should. And also he was so hated by the Pharisees and the religious leaders of that time. This man, he was despised and he was rejected by his own people. He just can only mix with tax collectors like himself. And now we see, as Jesus was passing by, Jesus would call him to himself. This man who had businesses, obviously he had a good life. He had a lot of money, you see, he had a lot of influence. You see, maybe he's in a higher positions in the taxation system. You see, so he must have a great house, a nice house. Maybe eating healthy food, maybe nice clothes, everything. So he's really at the upper echelon of his society. And so he was hated for all those things. He had a lot of money. But probably he was doing business as well, investing all this money. And so he's not an ordinary person, a person who has everything. And here Jesus comes. The Lord Jesus Christ comes here. He was not looking into the fact that he was rejected by the Pharisees, but Jesus came to save the lost. That was his heart. He showed him mercy. Because Matthew himself, he was aware of this. Probably he was having trouble, like being hated by his own people. It caused him some troubles in his heart. But he is so trapped in that, he can't do anything. And Jesus, just single word, saying to him, follow me. And then this man getting up, just leaving everything. He was so gripped by the power of Christ. Just being in that situation. And now here this comes, the person who will accept you, even as many people have deemed you to be unrighteous, not to fit for the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God. And yet he is the very person that Jesus came and called him to himself, just not only to follow him, but to be one of his disciples and to write to us this gospel that was read ever since and will read until Jesus Christ comes. This is the man that Jesus calls. What is this saying to us today? Regardless of your situation and your estate, put yourself in the place of Matthew. For Jesus came to seek the lost and to save the sinners. And now we see, of course, in this picture, Jesus is invited to the house of Matthew to eat with Matthew. And as Jesus was eating with Matthew and his friends, there are a lot of tax collectors were coming. Many of them, tax collectors and sinners, came and ate with him and his disciples. So now, Matthew has opened the door for all these tax collectors, for all these sinners to come and to follow Jesus. Actually, they were not just coming for social gathering. They realized that Matthew, if Matthew has been accepted by Christ, all of us, we can be accepted by Christ himself. Because there is, you cannot go low where Christ cannot come and touch you. You cannot, even if the people you think they are the greatest in our city, if they reject you, well, think of Jesus, what he might say of you. He wants you to come and to be one of his close ally, one of his inner circles. You see, that is how God works. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You see, the one who will say, yes, truly I'm a sinner. Because that was what really Matthew was doing. When Jesus said, follow me, he just realizes that there is something greater than this. If Jesus, he must have heard of him. He was in the region. This guy, he is not blind. He saw Jesus' activities, Jesus healing, Jesus encouraging, Jesus saving, Jesus proclaiming the kingdom of God. And now many sinners and tax collectors, they came and they were eating with Christ. I'm giving you the overview of what is happening. And of course, you have the Pharisees. They ask Jesus' disciple, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? And then now Jesus moved to face this. And I want to say things about this. Jesus, hearing what has been said, Jesus gave us this analogy. He said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor. You know, the hospital is for sick, isn't it? And the doctors to heal people who are sick. And Jesus is using this metaphor to say that I came particularly for those people, like people like Matthew. I came for them, the sinners. He didn't come for people like the Pharisees who have their own definition of righteousness. Jesus uses this. We know it's a clear example. You are sick, you go to hospital, and a doctor comes and examine you and gives you prescription. You see, now Jesus comes and he saw Matthew in need for forgiveness and cleansing. And Matthew knew his need. He knew his need. And then he gave in. You see, it's just like you have been told in hospital that this is your sickness and we are going to treat you this treatment, this kind of treatment. And then you have to comply and then follow our instruction carefully. See? And then you will do that if you want to be well. Who would want to stay in hospital? You see, you want to come out. And true, you can go back to your businesses. You see, that is exactly Matthew knew. His soul was longing for forgiveness and cleansing and acceptance back into his own community. That is what Jesus is saying. He says, it's not the healthy, but I came for people like this man. because I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Because the Pharisees, they were people who were following a cultic system that was so precise, they were just so organized, they were offering offerings. You see, exactly as there is required in the law. But as it was in the Old Testament in Hosea 6:6, the Lord says, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." Those people, they went over the top. They were just focusing on the sacrifices, not on the souls of the people. When God's heart is full of mercy for his own people, not to be under the kingdom of Satan, but to be saved and brought into the presence of God and to receive God's love and comfort and blessing, protection, the living God, to live with his own children whom he has brought to himself. That is God's desire. God's desire is not for us to perish. Even people like Matthew and all the people you see, the criminals, even those who are killing people today. God's heart for them is to be safe and not to be running for their life, but to be running in the path of righteousness. That is God's desire. So God says, "You Pharisees, you have lost your way." And it is not a secret, even in our day to day, how many religious leaders who have lost their way because they are just so pedantic about just doing their own businesses. They created their own system and they want to follow it strictly. And then they lost sight of what they were meant to be for in the first place. Calling people to repentance, showing people the love of God, pointing them to Jesus Christ, the one who gave his life and died on the cross of Calvary. And his blood that was shed flowed to wash away their sins. These religious leaders, they gave up on this, they put down the truth, and they are just like running their businesses. It's a wake-up call for us. If we need to have revival in this country, we need to go back to the Word of God and to see what it is here for. It's the power of God unto the salvation of sinners. That was what Paul says in Romans 1 verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, for it is the power of God unto the salvation of those who believe. And now you and I today, we need to take this seriously. Because these Pharisees, the problem here is the Pharisees. There are people who are standing on the door, not allowing people to meet Jesus and to be saved and to know his forgiveness and to know the fullness of his Holy Spirit, to know his mercy and kindness. You see, people are just so furious about following laws. Today, just let me give you an example. If someone is dying somewhere, and you know that this someone, he lacks real food, and then the Lord is asking you to help this person who needs this food, but how to get money to that person to be fed and to be saved from his death? And then we say, we do have regulations about how we send money to the person, not just to get the money to the person, but how we get the money to the person. I'm not saying it's not important. It's important. But which one is the most important? It's to get the thing to the person, isn't it? To be saved. Because after all, you can get them in the right channels and then you may not get the person already finished. So Jesus said to them, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come." I have not come completely. So this should be erased in your mind. No possibility that I have come to call the righteous. Is it a bad thing for Jesus to call the righteous? Jesus is not against righteousness. Actually, he's calling people to righteousness. You see? But there is no righteous person. He's the one who makes people righteous. As you believe in Christ, you become righteous. Righteous, you come right with God, justified. You see, that is what he's saying. I have not come to call the righteous, because you have a wrong idea of righteousness. Your righteousness is to bring offerings. See, that is your righteousness. And then not to take things on Saturday. You see, like, you don't carry your mat on Saturday. It's a Sabbath. You see, but the man who was healed last week, you see, Jesus told him, pick up your mat and walk. You see, Is it good to do good on Saturday or to do bad? Certainly they were doing bad because they were hindering even the salvation of this man called Matthew. They were against his salvation. For him to come, or even to be part of Jesus' groups, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. So they were delighting in stopping people from walking with Christ. You see? And Jesus said, no, 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 he came to call the whole world to himself. And that is why when they are in this house, when they were eating together, many tax collectors, they came and they attached themselves with Christ. And they were, he extended a right hand of fellowship, if I could say that. He was having fellowship with them. You see, something Pharisees in their own religious system, they wouldn't rub shoulders with sinners, people who were seen like prostitutes, who were prostitutes and robbers and murderers. You see, people who were maybe some of them are running for their lives, that they are needed to be before the court, you see. And then now here they saw this salvation coming. They came all, you see, and they came to Jesus. They were not coming for Matthew. Matthew left his business. If they needed Matthew, they could have been staying there under the booth collecting taxes. No. They were coming to Jesus. They saw the door has been opened. Jesus has accepted one of their own. And that is why, you see, when sinners repent, other sinners are encouraged. And they ask, how can we be saved? Well, next Friday, too, they will bury a beautiful young South Sudanese who took her life or died under hard circumstances. And self just struggling with addictions and a mother of two children, she couldn't just face up to it. Her life just finished. A beautiful young woman. And then I was chatting with another young guy who was there who came out of those things and he's walking with Christ. He's being saved. He said to me, this woman asked him one day, how did you come out of these things? How did you come out of this? And unfortunately, 2 weeks later, she vanished in Alice Springs. She will be buried on Thursday. Just imagine if those sinners, tax collectors, asked Matthew, how did you come to this? How did you come to follow Jesus? Well, Jesus said, I came to call sinners to repentance. You see, this is one thing. Another thing, when Jesus said to them, because when they complained, he said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. He extends invitation to them to repent of their sins. Go and learn this. It's the true religion. It's for you to keep going, offering sacrifices and having no regards for true righteousness, the mercy of God, love. He calls them to repentance. Well, I want to give you these things for you to take home with you. It was not too hard for Matthew to follow Jesus, because the things of this world are temporary. The things of this world will not help you so much as far as the righteousness of God is concerned. Matthew learned their lessons. He knew that this money will not help him. And then also he recognized in Christ the power of his love as he said to him, follow me, come with me. He didn't care so much about where Jesus was going to go. Obviously, he's not going to have a lot of money. Obviously, he's going to leave his palace behind. But because the power of the love of Christ, he was so gripped by that. Certainly, Matthew is not going to be friend with these tax collectors, the rich people, people in higher positions. Now he is going really to be with this carpenter and to walk on foot and then to rely on God for where their next meal is coming from. And now Jesus is teaching the true way of godliness, the true Christianity is this, where there is no reliance on the thing that we gather ourselves, but on God. And then to know how to call on his name. Matthew, he learned this and he came out of that. And now as he attached himself with his master, he is going to, by through the Holy Spirit, to put together a gospel that will be read by all the Israelites, because his gospel is put in such a way that the readers that are targeted for this are the Jews themselves. And so for himself to say and to align himself with Christ and to say that sacrifices God does not demand, but mercy. That is what Jesus came to do. He was offering his life on the cross of Calvary, showing us mercy. Also, we need to see that we are to be aware of the Pharisees in our midst. Maybe it will be an ongoing struggle within the religious systems of our day. You see, and so I encourage you to work with Christ closely. I encourage you to have really resolute a courage and boldness to say no to anything that man would demand you to do. Party spirit, groups, this is Antichrist. You can pray for 10,000 years for revival. Revival will not come. So let's be aware of the Pharisees. Hypocrisy, using religion to empower themselves. You see, and to load it over other people. You cannot do anything good on the rest day. You see, even to not show mercy to a man, even to a man like Matthew. I rather we want to be a people full of mercy, because that is what we have received. We were sinners. Paul, Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian ever lived. You see, saying, I have received mercy. I was so blind. I destroyed the church of God. But I was acting in ignorance. But when Christ, when the love of God appears, he gripped me by his power and he raised me up and he made me a prophet. An apostle and a herald of the gospel to all nations. Calling people to repentance, telling them that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And I am the worst of all sinners. Jesus came to save sinners. He came to call people who are outcasts, who are rejected. So now onward, I want you to be aware of these people, the Pharisees. For Jesus came to save sinners. And he will go on until he returns, calling people to repentance. Sinners who are not doing any great. Can God save the South Sudanese gangs in Melbourne? Can Jesus deliver them? Can Jesus bring them out from these entanglements? Can God empty all the prostitutes, brothels in this city? Can God do that? Yes, he can. But who are the heralds? Who are the disciples? And I was going to forget about the disciples themselves. They are our examples. You see, they saw the sinners being attached to their master. They themselves also welcome the sinners. You see, many sinners and tax collectors came and ate with him and his disciples. They were not left out, because Jesus is teaching us that even his disciples, they accepted his message. They are following in his footsteps. They are following 100%. If he could accept sinners, also they will accept sinners. And they will go to sinners. And that is why we go and preach the gospel to the lost. You see, because we have accepted that we were accepted as sinners ourselves and our Savior. That is what he is wanting to do. And we are also going to be merciful and kind to the sinners and invite them to surrender their life to Christ. Jesus came. Jesus called sinners to repentance. Have you come to know Jesus Christ in sincerity? Have you surrendered your life to him? He comes today. He wants you to have encounter, to be like Matthew, and to come fully with all of your heart, and you see, and to follow him, and to open your heart and say, Jesus, truly, you came for me. I am a sinner. Save me and set me free. And then you will have your next assignments in the kingdom of Jesus Christ and what you do for his glory. And then you will be defiant of any pressure from anyone else to comply with the religious system of their own making. You will be true to the word of God, and you will have a great work with Christ. You will have his comfort. You will have his blessings. Even when you are doing it tough, even when things are tough and are hard for you, you can trust him 100%. You can trust him 100%. You can just sit on your bed or on couch or even you lie down and you bring your matters to him and say, Lord Jesus Christ, please look to me and think of Matthew. He will come and comfort you, for he came to call sinners. I don't want to keep you any longer like this. 5 verses only, but the flow of this, if I could just this, how Jesus was going. And then he said to this man, follow me. And while Jesus was having dinner with this man, he has accepted these Pharisees. They were like trying to be really angry, but they were told that their religion is devoid of God's mercy and is not, they are not righteous as they would think. But Jesus is now making new righteous, new movement of people. And Jesus says, this is what I've came to do. That is what I desire. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. You can, as you heard me, you can bring as much as you want to God. But if you neglect this, and he will just really pronounce woes in chapter 23, starting from 23, he will pronounce woes to the Pharisees. My prayer is that it will not be like the Pharisees, that Jesus will say to us, whoa, your religion is purely self-righteousness. It's just about offerings and sacrifices, but devoid of the true mercy, devoid of the true gospel. Let us pray.